The Chicago Blackhawks, once again, near the top of the Western Conference. To touch on them and some moves that they could be making here in the next 4 weeks leading up to the NHL trade deadline. Once again, we are joined by a good friend from ESPN in Chicago, Scott Powers. Scotty, welcome back to the show. You've seen the Blackhawks for the last 5 years being one of the best teams in the league. A lot of people think this might be the last hurrah at an elite team because of the contracts kicking next year, $21 million for two players between Taves and Kane. So if it's the one last hurrah, what position are they going to try to improve on between now and the deadline?
Yeah, they're in a tight spot because of the salary cap already. So when I sat down with Stan Bowman last week, he thought they may stay in pat, you know, if anything, make a small move. But because of that future salary cap and where they're at now, there isn't much room. I mean, their hope is that when Trevor Van Riemsdyk comes back here in the next month, that maybe he fills a hole that they have defensively and some consistency there. But they like all four lines they have. And the one thing Bowman said was that they're a little bit scared of, too, if they do make a move, that they're maybe plugging one hole and you know, losing another one. So I'm not sure if they do make a move. And if it is, maybe it's minor, where it's, you know, with 2 years ago, as Michael Hanz, you said the trade line deadline obviously had an impact. And last year, they hoped Christopher Stieg would have the impact. And obviously, he was a little bit banged up and never was that player. But I don't expect a whole lot. I think the Van Riemsdyk coming off of, you know, the long-term IR is what they're hoping maybe puts them over the top and gives them a little bit balance with the defensive pairings.
Yeah, it's interesting. You try and find a hole in the Blackhawks, it's difficult. I mean, just in the Western Conference, you know, they're a plus 40 in goal differential. The offense is very good. The defense and goaltending is very good. But when I look at them, I wonder if there might be the need for an experienced blue liner still. Not necessarily a top two or a top four guy, but an experienced proven NHL defenseman.
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, if they had the cap, I think they would have addressed it. I think, you know, going into this season when they picked up Brad Richards, they knew they had to get rid of someone, and that guy ended up being Nick Leddy. And Leddy, you know, although young, had been pretty experienced there. And I also wonder if, you know, I think it's something they'd like to have now, and maybe you get away with Roosevelt, Van Riemsdyk, and Runblad toward the end of the season. But Quinville's often you know, lead more on his top pairings as the playoffs go on. You know, Nick Leddy, even the Stanley Cup season and last season, that he barely, you know, there were times where he was barely getting off the bench. And, you know, even Seabrook a couple of years ago, you know, he got into Quinville's doghouse. And I'm curious to see how much that fifth, sixth pairing is going to have an impact into it in the playoffs. I think the bigger thing for the Blackhawks, and I think their biggest downfall last season in the playoffs, was they went away from four lines where the year before, you know, the fourth line was a guy like Dave Boland, and, you know, they had depth there with Frolik. And last year, you know, the playoffs came, and he started, you know, missing. Michael Hanz just wasn't that second-line center anymore, so he went to the fourth line, and Versteeg became, you know, he lost trust in him, so Versteeg went to the fourth line, and Brandon Bolig was, you know, just he couldn't play him either. So by the end of the, you know, by the Kings series came around, they were playing three lines, and I thought that was something that was a detriment. You know, one was not having that second line center, and something they addressed with Brad Richards, but also just not having the depth they you know, relied on the year before to win the Cup.
When you look at their cap situation moving forward, the $21 million for those two, who's going to have to go? Who do you see as the guy who's going to have to be the financial sacrificial lamb?
Yeah, I mean, they have 15 guys signed for next season, and they've already committed $65 million to those 15 guys. So, and that's not including paying Brandon Saad. I think Saad's, you know, with every goal he scores, he probably deserves a little bit larger paycheck, and they're probably hoping for a bridge deal with him still being restricted. And Marcus Kruger's another guy. So someone has to go. If you want to build a team, I think Brian Bickle's the one, you know, probably the one target. He's making $4 million a season. He was probably overpaid after what he did in 2013. Was obviously had a phenomenal playoffs and one of the reasons why they won the Cup. But he hasn't been able to play at that level since then. Where, you know, 10 goals over the last couple seasons, and you know, he played well in the playoffs. But you're usually not paying him that much money just to be a playoff player. So I think Bickle's the one guy. If they can get someone to take that $4 million, that will help alleviate some of those problems. And then if it goes beyond that, it depends on how much money Saad and guys like Kruger want. But You know, someone like Sharp, maybe. I mean, he makes about 5.9, but, you know, the fact that he really hasn't had he's been a pretty consistent player, and his numbers have been pretty good. That I think if they can continue to afford him, he's not someone they want to move just based on his performance that's still been up there.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not going to argue, at least in terms of the NHL economy, that Kane and Taves aren't worth the kind of money they're going to be paid, because they're your cornerstone players. But what it does, obviously, is create pressure points all over the roster. And your pro scouts, if you're bringing in the pieces, because we've seen some good glue guys leave Chicago before, and the cumulative effect of that can be to diminish the overall team, and you're still paying two guys a whack of dough. So you got to be real careful, don't you?
Yeah, and hopefully at some point you need to rely on your farm system. You know, I mean, you need that organizational depth to play an impact. And I think one guy like Teuvo Teravainen, who just has come up here in a few weeks, I think he's a special player, the way he passes the puck and his vision that he has top six potential. But you need depth guys too, and especially defense. And where Trevor Van Riemsdyk was a bit of a surprise, you know, after coming from New Hampshire last year. Having signed him after his college season, and he, you know, made it through training camp and made the team. But they need to, you know, there's a couple guys that they've drafted pretty highly, first, second round picks, second, third year pros even, that they need to start relying on, because eventually to fill up that roster, you need guys making that sort of money, and you got to start relying on your draft picks. So I think you'll see that a lot next year with the defenseman, where I think Johnny Oduya is a unrestricted free agent, so is Michael Roosevelt, and I think both those guys are gone for sure. So you look at that, those, you know, it's a fourth defenseman in Oduya and Roosevelt fifth. And so I think you need to start seeing those guys, that they're going to be relied on, those younger guys. And Quinville's not always trusted those younger defensemen. So I think that's something he has to get across too, where they brought up a couple guys from their AHL team this year and they haven't stuck around too long. So I think it'll be a challenge for him and for those kids to stick and to earn some trust.
Brandon Saad. Is he a top-line winger potential in your mind, or is he a second-line winger?
Yeah, I mean, he's played on the top line a lot. You know, I think as a rookie when he came up in 2013 that they saw the potential, but they also saw Taves and Hossa kind of protecting him. You know, the fact that he's defense reliable, that was a plus for him, especially in Quinville's book. But I think over the last month he's proven that he belongs there. You know, I think the big thing about him has always been consistency, where you see at times – where he can be producing and he can really play at that level, but it comes and goes. You know, last season he was a healthy scratch again towards the end of the year because Quinville wasn't happy with him. And I think over the last month something's really clicked. He has 8 goals, I think, over the last 12 games, and he's really carrying the puck and using that, kind of being that power forward. They want him to be more consistently. And the one simple thing he's doing is just getting to the net. And for some reason, he just understands that now in 6 of the last 8 goals he scored, it's been either off rebounds or standing in front of the net and waiting for Taves or Holstead to pass it to him. So I think he has that potential. You know, he's still only 22 years old, and the fact that he has played with Taves and Holstead has benefited him. But I feel like they're playing off him now, too, where he's helping them. So I certainly think they see him. I could see that being a line. Obviously, Holstead signed for a long time, and so is Taves, that Saad Taves Hossa line could be something you can see from years to come.
Is he the fastest Chicago Blackhawk?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of speed, but on this team, Versteeg's been better. That since his knee's been better, there's some quickness, and I'd probably say Saad. Yeah, I mean, he certainly gets around that corner and get to the net, and he's got that strength. So, I'd probably say so.
Here's one from left field. You just mentioned Hossa. Terrific player, but age and contract. Even if the Hawks wanted to move him to open up space, is he movable at this point in his career?
No, I think they understand that he's going to be there for however long, and the longer he's at this level, it's a benefit to them. One, he's playing well, and two, that they're not going to have to pay that recapture penalty the longer longer he's on the ice. So, the fact that he still has to go, they're good with five years or so to that contract to play out. I don't know if he'll be there to the end of it, but I think they've kind of come to terms that you're going to keep him and hoping that, one, he stays healthy, which was a bit of a scare, even when they won the cup that year. He had a back nerve problem, and it was something that there was a concern that was going to stick with him, and it was an issue that following year at training camp, and he's been fine ever since. So as long as he can stay healthy and play at this level, I think the Blackhawks are completely fine having him. There's no interest in dealing him.
Scotty, we appreciate it. We'll watch with interest the Hawks, man. They're in a dogfight in the ultra-tight Central Division, only 2 points out of fourth place. And they're five back now of Nashville. Should be very interesting to watch what happens in the final 34 games in the Central. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.